If you feel like something is shifting in Australian politics, well, you're right. After every election, the ANU pores over the data for the largest and longest running study on our elections. While there was much speculation around how disaffected voters would turn out at the ballot box in May, we now have some of the answers of their motivations. Ian McAllister is a distinguished professor of political science at the Australian National University and the lead author of this 2022 Australian election study. He's our guest. Welcome.
Thank you, PK.
What are the standout voting trends to you?
Well, we were interested in how people voted in the 22 elections. So we were interested in looking at the broad patterns of why the Liberals lost, why Labour won. But we're also interested in long-term trends because, as you mentioned in your introduction, we've been tracking this since 1987. We've got a lot of information about long-term trends in terms of people's behaviour, their attitudes, what they think of the political parties and the leaders and so on. So there's a lot of information both about the election and about long-term trends in Australian politics.
And how does what you found differ from the last election?
Well, we found several things. We were very interested in looking at generational change because it's very clear that younger people are voting in a very different way from older people. And we found there was a continuing shift of young people away from the coalition. But what we found was that had advanced much more than it has in any previous election. And we find, for example, among people aged under 40, less than one in four were voting for the coalition. And indeed, among younger people still aged under 24, we find that about one in five or less were voting for the coalition. That's the biggest generational change than we've ever seen in any of the previous election surveys. And we also find there was a continuing movement of women away from the coalition. And again, that's a trend that we've been tracking over many years, and that continued in this election as well.
Really interesting. You say it's the biggest generational change we've seen. Younger voters have always skewed to the left. Are you finding that that's now even more pronounced than ever?
It's more pronounced than ever, but it's quite significant because what normally happens is when people get a bit older, they tend to veer towards the centre-right. They tend to be more politically conservative. What we've seen the last couple of election studies, but particularly in this one, is that millennials, people aged under 40, and Generation Z, people aged under about 24, are very different. They don't appear to be shifting in terms of their political views. And that has very long-term implications for the Liberals in terms of their core support, because baby boomers, older generations, they're now moving out of the electorate. And very shortly, millennials and Generation Z will become a majority of the electorate. If the Liberals are not picking up votes among this group, then it represents something of an existential crisis. But there's also some implications there for Labour as well. In the past, the Green vote would go back, for example, to Labour. Around about 80% would return to Labour through preferences. But of course, what we saw in the last election was the Greens picked up three seats to add to the seat they already had. If that's starting to happen, then there's also implications there for Labour as well.
Most voters who voted for Teal independence at May's federal election came from former Labour and Greens voters rather than disaffected Liberals. Talk me through that.
Yes, we were fascinated by that result, and we found that not just in the election study, but we also ran another study immediately after the federal election. We found exactly the same thing. We find that the majority of Teal voters were former Green and Labour voters. That's the way they'd voted in the 2019 election, and they were voting tactically in order to remove the sitting Liberal candidate. Less than one in five of them were former Liberal voters. That's interesting because it suggests that there's a very large proportion of people in those electorates who are prepared to vote strategically. It suggests that they have very good political information. They're prepared to use the electoral system in a very strategic way for a purpose. Of course, it also has implications for the Teal MPs as well and Teal candidates in the next election, because if the majority of their support are really Labour and Green voters, then it suggests that at some stage they may actually revert back to the party that they really support, if you put it that way.
Well, explain to us how that makes sense, right? These seats, you know, Labor and Green voters couldn't make them Labor and Green seats in the past. So if there are enough of those voters, explain to me why they are so influential in shifting their vote.
Well, they were taking the imperative of removing this sitting Liberal candidate, and they were looking around to see what was the most viable candidate or the most viable party that was able to do that. So then they were shifting their vote, perhaps on a short-term basis, perhaps on a longer-term basis, to remove the Liberal. It's something we've seen not very much in Australian politics in the past, but it's something that's fairly common in Europe, for example, in British politics, which also has a majoritarian electoral system. There's a history of tactical voting among Liberal Democrats to remove, for example, sitting Conservative MPs. So it's something we've seen overseas, but it's something that we really haven't seen to a great extent in Australia. And of course, what it requires is a degree of political information among voters. It requires quite a high level of political interest and an understanding of how the electoral system works. And the teal electorates generally tended to be electorates where people had disproportionately higher education, more interested, and so on. So it's probably not surprising, but it's about the first time we've really seen this in any scale in Australian politics.
How did people view the major party leaders?
Well, we find that Scott Morrison was the least popular major party leader we've ever polled since 1987. There was a particular collapse in his popularity.
In 1980s. So the whole history of
the
your
whole
survey,
history.
The least popular leader ever.
Absolutely, yes. He was even less popular than Bill Shorten in 2019. And the interesting thing was in 2019, Scott Morrison was actually reasonably popular. He was about midway in terms of popularity, but his popularity really collapsed in the 2022 election. Well, we drilled into that a bit because we asked the respondents the sort of things about leader characteristics they believe the leaders have, things like compassion, intelligence, honesty, integrity, and so on. We find that what most concerned voters between 2019 and 22 was that Scott Morrison wasn't honest and he didn't have integrity.
You mentioned this one already, but I just want to drill down into it, and that's women turning away from the coalition. At what rate is this happening and why?
The rate at which it's happening is about a gender gap of about 9 percentage points. The gender gap has varied since 2010 when Julia Gillard became Prime Minister. The gender gap at that point was about 10 percentage points. It's varied over the election since. It increased by about 3 percentage points based on 2019. The reasons why it's happening over the longer term is, well, the expansion of higher education. These days, more women than men go through university. Changes in labour force participation. Women are much more likely to head one-parent families, and that means they're more concerned with issues like health and education, which are issues in which centre-left and Labour parties have an advantage. And we also find that things like the decline of religion is important, religion being a conservative influence, and women tend to be more religious than men. That has really substantially declined over the last 20 or 30 years. But that's also something that's been happening across a range of countries around the world. And to some extent, Australia's come a bit later than other countries to that. So the gender gap with women moving more towards the centre-left, that occurred in the United States during the 1990s. It occurred in Britain in the early 2000s. And it's been occurring here now since 2010.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really interesting survey.
Thank you very much, PK.
Ian McAllister is a Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the Australian National University and lead author of the 2022 Australian Election Study.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.